8 o'clock. Thanks for joining us. Jim Davis along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Most trusted name in automobiles. Hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Buckeye, how about you? Good Thanksgiving?
Yeah, it was really good. Calm, chill, good. Great food.
Tyler behaved himself?
He did.
Very good. Did he bring like a bottle of wine or something?
No.
He didn't bring anything.
He brought himself.
Ooh.
Which was all that was asked.
Okay, that's...
My wife told me that, you know, if there's any special, unique dishes he prefers, he would have to bring them himself. And I told him that if he likes any weird stuff, he's going to have to bring it himself. And he said he was good with the traditional, and so we didn't ask him to bring anything. He didn't, so, you know.
Okay, well, if he didn't ask...
He's still a young guy. It's not really a, you know, thing where the adult thing where you bring a gift of booze.
Gotcha.
Really, with a closet full of Uncle Rio's Night Night Juice, he should have known to bring a little something. But he didn't. We didn't ask him to either. So he was good. He was very well behaved. Got along nicely with everyone.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Glad he wasn't...
Well, let me tell you guys something.
No. Not as good. We sent him home.
Should have cut him off.
We sent him home with a plate.
Good.
Of extra. It was all good.
Very nice. You would sound like you were gracious hosts.
We absolutely were.
I'm glad to hear that.
And humble.
Got a text we didn't get to on Wednesday. Bry Guy, I hope you had a happy Thanksgiving as well. Let's see. Got one from Larry from Clifton. When the Broncos starting quarterback has as many touchdown passes equal to losses, there's a big problem. Russ also has more interceptions than wins as well. And when you see defensive linemen yelling at Russ on the sideline, I think the team doesn't respect him. I think you're probably right about that. From Kenny, Denver needs a leader of men. They should go after Shaw, who is leaving Stanford. Who does have NFL chops, by the way, David Shaw. Sounds like Shaw's just gonna kick back a year, see what kind of unfolds.
Yeah, I feel he's not gonna be coaching anywhere soon.
All right, so it's 8:02, and we'll go around the NFL here in a little bit. We didn't get a chance to talk with him last week, but we're gonna wrap up the season. Our exit interview for Montrose Redhawks football. Time to talk a little Redhawks football with Montrose coach Brett Mertens.
Talking Montrose Redhawks football with coach Brett Mertens on the team.
And right now joining us on the Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line, coach of the Montrose Redhawks, Brett Mertens. Brett, we appreciate the time, and I'm sorry we couldn't get you last week, but you had bigger fish to fry, or bigger you know, deer and elk to go hunt, because you were up hunting last week. How'd it go? Did you have any luck? Did you come back with some meat for the freezer?
My wife had a tag, so we got that. We got a cow for her, so it was fun.
Good. Good deal. Well, congratulations on that. For your football team, the loss at Loveland, I tell you what, your kids fought so hard in that football game, and that had to be so frustrating because you were so close to getting to the semifinals. Take us through, you know, that football game. You lose 20-15 to Loveland at their place, and I thought, man, you gave them everything they could handle that Friday night.
Yeah, I was proud of our kids. You know, like they've done all year, they played extremely hard. They played all the way to the final whistle. You know, they had a never quit attitude again. So, you know, it was we were down 14-0 at halftime, and kids responded out of halftime, and you know, we were actually able to come back and take a 15-14 lead with about a little over four minutes left, and you know, and we had to kick back off to Loveland. And, you know, honestly, when we had to kick back off to Loveland with 4 minutes, you know, there's too much time there with that offense, the way they run the football. So, you know, we couldn't get a stop, and they were able to punch it in, and that was it. But great, you know, it was a great game, and it was a physical, hard-hitting, cold high school football game, and it was playoff weather. So it was one that those boys will remember forever, and, I thought it was – it was a great night. Unfortunately, we couldn't come out on top, but it didn't take away from the game that it was.
Montrose Redhawks football coach Brett Mertens with us, and Brett, you know, when you look at what's coming back for you next year, I mean, it's you're in a good position in terms of Gage Wareham comes back for you for his senior season at the quarterback spot. So you're going to have, obviously, experience returning there. And likewise, with Blake Griffin, who'll be a senior, you know, over 2,000 yards this year, 26 touchdowns. I mean, Blake just had an incredible season having him back. Austin Zimmer will be back as well for your football team. Like I said, there's some really good pieces coming back for this Montrose Red Hawks football team for 2023.
Yeah, there is. You know, and we kind of knew the pieces that we lose this year, we lose the majority of our line. And so, you know, it's kind of, you know, it depends every year on, you know, seniors always graduate. So this year we started, you know, I like to count our tight end as a lineman. And if you do that, we had 5 out of 6 of our linemen were seniors. So, you know, we're definitely going to be looking for some kids to step up in that area. And that's kind of, you know, one of the things that makes us go offensively, obviously, is the cohesiveness of our offensive line. But you're right. I mean, anytime you got a senior quarterback with that much experience, you know, Blake with as many carries as he's had, you know, like you said, Austin and, you know, Aiden G had some carries earlier in the year. So he'll step up, I'm sure. And, you know, we'll get some young kids in there too. And the thing that's always fun, and I think we've talked about this before, is watching those new kids step up every year and they kind of grow into those roles and end up doing a pretty good job. So, you know, we're losing a great senior class. We really are. You know, some of those big bodies, and you know, and Tori Eckerman, and just those kids, just great, great high school football players, high character kids, and we're definitely going to miss them. But we're in a good spot program wide.
We're talking with Brett Mertens, the head coach of the Montrose Red Hawks football team, and joining us on the program, and also Javon Killen, 125 tackles for you this season. He'll be back for his senior campaign, so you do have your top tackler returning on the defensive side.
Yeah, we do, and, you know, actually...
Jackson Killen, excuse me. I think I called him something else. Killen. I'm sorry, Brett.
No, that's okay. Yeah, we were pretty young at the linebacker and the defensive back spot overall. So, like I said, we lost a lot up front with our offensive and defensive lines, but, you know, the rest of our team was actually pretty young. We were starting a lot of juniors, and... So we'll be all right. You know, we're gonna hit the weight room and get some of those guys to bulk up and put some weight on our O&D lines, and hopefully we'll be all right there. But another interesting challenge. You know, every year is different, and it seems like a long time between now and then, but it'll be here before you know it.
And then give me your thoughts about next year, because with the classification changes, adding 6A, that at least from you know what we've you know. Seen from the clock, I mean, and everything that you're going to be a 5A program, which essentially you're going to be 4A still, but a new designation. Just kind of your thoughts about that, because a lot of the faces are still going to be familiar there for the Monument, Grand Junction, Central teams you play in your non-conference schedule. They'll still be part of what you have in terms of a 5A schedule.
I didn't even see the new deal. Was that one of the new proposals? Was a 6A for 2024, right?
Yeah, well, I'm looking here. I'm seeing this is from Kevin Schaefer, Colorado Preps. Proposed football leagues for 2022-2024. And so I'm not sure. I think it'll be the following season. Yeah. So I stand correct. I think it's for 2024. But at some point in time, your program after next season will be a 5A program.
Well, I believe you. I just don't want to jumped anything, because I know that they tried to push a 6A in last year too, and then at the last second it kind of got axed. So I'm wondering if something's left over from that. I don't really know. When I was looking at it, when they were trying to push it through, basically what I was seeing was it was just going to be mostly the same teams that are, you know, they call it 5A instead of 4A, but didn't look like it was going to change a whole lot for us. So I don't know. They change stuff every year. It seems like something changes in terms of classifications or playoff format or something different happens. But, you know, I can't really control any of that. So I just play who they tell me to play.
Yeah, and that's probably the best way to look at it, right? The rest of the stuff, yeah, it'll all sort itself out. Well, Brett, I always appreciate it. Thanks for coming on throughout the course of the season. I'm sure we'll be talking the summer when we do our camping segments and talk about what you guys are doing at camp and everything. I appreciate the time as always, and I know it's not the outcome you're hoping for, but still another great season for your football team, and a lot to look forward to if you're a Montrose Redhawks fan, I think, in 2023 as well.
Yeah, thank you very much, guys.
Hey, take care. Appreciate it. Brett Mertens, coach of the Montrose Redhawks, and our conversation with Brett Mertens brought to you by the Rick Nelson Agency and American Family Insurance. For a free comparison, call this team of licensed professionals at 970-241-0078. Yeah, I just happened to look this up on Colorado Preps with Kevin Schaefer about the possible, about the classification changes. It's not official yet, according to what he has written here, but when it is approved, they would be a 5A program. If this is approved, with Fruto Monument, Grand Junction, Central, basically it's 4A.
Yeah, it's everybody moved up.
Everybody moved
and
up.
And a new classification. I think it's carved out of the lower 4A, upper 3A.
And part of the reason I asked about this is I looked it up because Steve sent in the text Delta 3A next year. And this, when this change, if it does occur, Delta would be a 3A program, so would Rifle, but it would essentially be the same programs that are already in 2A for the most part.
Yeah, it's they just moved everybody up, and I think they, like I said, they carved out some of that lower 4A, upper 3A tier and moved some schools, moved the 3A break down a little bit, because according to Kevin Schaefer, this article that's from a while back, I think it was somewhere over the summer, that you also have Rifle, which is a solidly 2A program when it comes to enrollment. Rifle, Delta, they would be 3A schools. Eaton would be a 3A school, but you know, coming down would be like Northfield, Northridge, those schools. I think Northridge is already a 3A school because they were with Palisade.
Correct. That's who they played in the first round.
But no Palisade in this 3A.
No.
Palisade would be moved up, as would Durango to the new 4A, right? So they're kind of carving that new league out of the middle. They're not lopping off the top and making it 6A. They're kind of wedging it into the middle and moving people up or down.
And with this new 4A, which Palisade would be part of, that, I mean, your normal former, you know, Western Slope League foes, they're not part of this when it comes to football.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is the one that Brett was talking about, because he says this...
Glenwood would still be in there. Pardon me. Glenwood would still be part of it.
Glenwood says, the Colorado Preps Schaefer article starts with, Chassa this afternoon took another step to adding new classifications beginning for the 2022 season. This is not how the 2022 season played out, right? So this is, I think, is the one that Brett Mertens is talking about.
Like 2024.
Swiped. Yeah.
So things would stay status quo. Of course, we've already seen changes for basketball, though that's already happening.
That one is happening.
But it'd be interesting, because all of a sudden for Palisade, they would be a quote 4A program, which essentially is still 3A, but no Summit in that mix as far as playing a league opponent that they've now played for several years. Glenwood would still be in the mix there, but Durango, which was a conference foe for Palisade this past season, Durango would still be, it would be a 4A program that Palisade would take on when this does finally transpire.
Mm-hmm. And Chassa has the enrollment cutoff with a 6A in it for football from this past July, but they didn't run a 6A program. They didn't run a 6A cycle this year.
No, not this year.
So it's the 22 to 24 cycle, which is the one we're currently in, but they didn't actually use it.
So I wasn't trying to get Brett confused or anything there, because Steve had sent the text in about that. I'm like, okay, I'll just ask Brett what he knows about it and what, if you know, there's changes involving Montrose. And at some point,
and
that will probably happen.
I got a text. I'm going to out you source, sorry. I don't think this is really clandestine anyway. Josh King, Central AD, texted me that 6A got shut down. It's not on the table from what he's heard.
Okay. Well, so, Josh would know. So
Yeah, you know.
He would.
The guy
would,
in the know.
Appreciate that, Josh. Yeah. Appreciate it.
And thanks for listening.
Because some of these things we get involved with covering other aspects of high school sports, and we don't.
There's a lot of stories about the proposal. There's no stories about, that's not happening. So we're kind of at the whim of Google at times.
Exactly. And what Kevin Schaefer had put out a while back about this. So thank you, Josh. So as of right now, things remain status quo.
Yeah.
When it comes to football. Basketball, it's a different story. All right, 8:16, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Text or call us your thoughts about the Broncos and the loss. We were talking about how one and done's for programs or for franchises, the NFL, typically it has not gone well after you fire a coach after one season. So we've got some thoughts on that today. Also on prime time, Deion Sanders has been offered the head coaching job at the University of Colorado. Would you like that to happen? Would you like to see Deion Sanders in Boulder? Jared, who's a diehard Buffs fan, says, I'll take Deion Sanders in a heartbeat at Colorado. It baffles me how every other Pac-12 school has playmakers and multiple good quarterbacks. Something has to change in recruiting.
Why don't you just hire him for the Broncos job? There you go. Two birds, one stone. Get Prime into the state, and you get rid of Nathaniel Hackett. Maybe he helps out Patrick Surtain Jr. II here the last few weeks.
I don't know. As Jeff Saturday has shown us, I guess you don't need to coach at the NFL level previously. So,
well, at least Deion's got some head coaching experience.
I mean, he's been a head coach.
Yeah.
So, sure, why not? Let's see. Going from Tim on The Good, The Bad, The Ugly today. Let me cue up some music for that. Tim starts out with The Good. It's the start of the high school basketball season. The bad and the ugly, the Broncos. You could write a novel about both topics on the Broncos right now, and it's super frustrating to be a loyal fan at this point. Thank goodness for high school sports to take their place right now. And the Avalanche, too.
Yes.
And the Nuggets have been okay. Let's see. From Steve, maybe we need another wine day. Maybe we could call it Moan About It Monday. That's good.
Yeah.
Get some quality work there, Steve.
Tequila Tuesday, you know? We could have something there, too.
Got unnamed texter today. Good. Brad Roberts breaking two Air Force rushing records with 1,612 yards and 308 carries.
Mm-hmm.
Bad. Sean McVay getting clobbered by his own player on the sideline. You see where that happened to Nick Saban. Happened to Saban during his game.
A little slip there.
Intentional.
Oh, the old Nick Tater.
Ugly, another Broncos hack job. Will he be fired soon, please? It's entirely possible. Let's see what else. Greetings, fellas. From what I saw yesterday, Dangerous may be in danger from his own team. It's good.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like Let's Roll or Let's Ride is playing too well right now. Has anybody thought that maybe he is a system quarterback? What a joke. An overpaid joke.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ouchies.
Yeah.
Ouchies there. All right. So we will take a break. We'll come back. Normally we do around the NFL, top of the hour, but we wanted to work Brett Mertens in today to wrap up the season. So we will take a break, and we will come back, and we will go around the NFL. Plus, we'll have Russell Wilson talking with Dave Logan and Brandon Johnson, who was placed with a dilemma yesterday when he talked with Susie Wojcicki after the game. We'll get to that coming up in a few minutes. Text or call the show, 970-242-1340. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy around the NFL coming up next on the Team Sports Network.
Good morning, gentlemen. What are the haps?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Now it is fourth down and 10 from their own 43-yard line. Johnson wide right, Dulcich attached right, Hinton inside of Sutton, slot left, Murray to the left, and Wilson in the gun. Again, seven defenders at the line of scrimmage. Six of them come. Wilson floats one towards Hinton. Hinton can't scoop up a low throw at the 43-yard line. Incomplete, and the Panthers will take over.
Oh, yikes. That from the Broncos Radio Network, 850 KOA. And the team yesterday, the Broncos fall in Carolina, the Panthers. 23-10, they're now 3-8 on the season. You'll hear from Russell Wilson coming up in a couple of minutes. Also from Brandon Johnson, who caught his first NFL touchdown pass yesterday. From Russ, who threw his 300th career touchdown pass. We'll have that coming up in a little bit. But right now, it is time to take a trip around the National Football League this morning. It is around the NFL, and we will start things out. They're going to go all the way back to Thanksgiving Day. We're going to start with your Browns, though.
Yay!
Nice win for the Brownies yesterday. Yeah. Taking down Tampa Bay and the Buccaneers 23-17 yesterday. Went to overtime as the Browns get the victory. And I guess what today, Deshaun Watson officially back, right?
Isn't that the deal? Yeah, less of a yay.
Yay! Jacoby Brissett, 210, a touchdown and a pick. Nick Chubb, another sensational game, 116 yards and a touchdown yesterday. And you also had yesterday, leading the way, Amari Cooper, as far as the receiving yardage, 7 catches, 94 yards yesterday. But David Njoku coming up with a big catch that helped the Browns get the win.
Fourth and 10. Brissett throws back of the end zone. What a catch! David Njoku in the back of the end zone.
The one-handed snare job by the Chief. It was great.
Courtesy of Fox Sports TV. Tom Brady, 246 and two touchdowns yesterday. As Chris Godwin had 110 yards and 12 catches and a touchdown. Bucks are now 5-6. Browns are 4-7 after the win.
If they had an average defense, they'd be 7-4. NFL points allowed average is 22. And they're decidedly below average. But they would be 7-4 with an average defense. The other side of the state is 7-4. Cincinnati Bengals going to Tennessee, beating the Titans by a score of 20-16. Most points allowed by the Titans defense since September the 25th. The 20 points, and they lost. Titans fall to 7-4 as well.
Moving on to the Miami Dolphins, taking down the Houston Texans 30-15 yesterday. And Tua Tagovailoa with 299 yards and a touchdown through the air. You also had Jeff Wilson Jr. with 39 yards and a touchdown yesterday. Leading the way, Jalen Waddle through the air in terms of receiving, 5 catches, 85 yards yesterday as the Dolphins get the win over the Texans, who started Kyle Allen yesterday instead of Davis Mills. Allen, 215, a touchdown and a couple of picks as the Texans now fall to 1-9-1 on the season. The Dolphins, they improve to 8-3 in what's become a very interesting AFC East.
And the Dolphins are good. The Texans are not.
No.
32 yards in their first 25 plays. That's not good.
Ouch.
A good team. 31 points by the Jets. Mike White, come on down. He's the fifth player in NFL history with multiple games of 300-plus yards and 3 TDs in his first 4 starts. Can you name me any of the other 4?
In his first 4 starts?
In his first 4 starts, he's the fifth player in NFL history with multiple games of 300 or more passing yards and 3 passing touchdowns.
I'll go Peyton Manning.
Nope.
Cam Newton.
Nope. One in division for the Broncos. Currently right now, this very second.
Patrick Mahomes.
Yes. Kurt Warner, Mark, not Brett Rippon, and some rando named Austin Davis. I don't know who he is. But the Jets win 31-10.
Didn't he play for your Browns at one point? Austin Davis?
Odds are, yeah, probably.
He might have played for the Broncos, too.
Yeah, he probably did. Jets move to 7-4, 31-10. The Bears, without Justin Fields, with him, they're not very good. Without him, they're really
bad. Trevor Siemian getting the start yesterday.
Yeah, after hurting himself in pregame warm-up.
Not good.
No.
Yes, former Bronco, former Brown.
Hey,
Austin Davis.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. blind squirrel finds the net once in a while. All right, moving on to the Falcons taking on the Commanders, the red-hot Washington Commanders.
Look at that.
With Tyler Heinicke, 138, two touchdowns and a pick. Somebody talked the other day. Heinicke's numbers are very comparable to Zach Wilson's numbers.
Yeah.
But everybody talks about how gritty Heinicke is. He's leading them.
Gritty, gutty, but Taylor Heinicke,
but
baby.
But the numbers are pretty much the same as Zach Wilson. But then again, Mike White was great yesterday. But Heinicke with the two touchdown passes yesterday. Brian Robinson Jr. What an incredible story. If you got shot, he's come back to be a force for this team in the ground game. 18 carries, 105 yards yesterday as the Washington Commanders hold off Marcus Mariota and the Falcons.
Mariota, the pass, it's deflected in the air. It is picked off potentially by Washington. It is. It's Kendall Fuller.
Goal line stand by the Commanders to pick up that win. They're 7-5, last place in the NFC East. The East divisions, both, their last place winning percentage, 565. Yeah. Rest of the NFL, 261.
Those two divisions have been really, really good.
Yeah, best division in NFL history, not the AFC West.
Not the AFC West. Commanders, AFC as you East mentioned, maybe. 7-5 with a 19-13 win over the Falcons, who fall to 5-7. Marcus Mariota, 174 yards, touchdown and a pick yesterday.
Commanders are 7-5 in last place. The Falcons are 5-7, not in last place. So, there you go. How do you like them apples if you're the NFC East? The Jacksonville Jaguars, the gritty, gutty Jags, going for two late, holding off a surging Baltimore Ravens squad at the end there. It was, I think it was like 12-10 going to the fourth quarter. It finishes 28-27. Jags with the gritty, gutty, as you could say, testicular fortitude, two-point call.
You had a couple of those yesterday.
Yeah, we did. Doug Peterson's comes through for, Trevor Lawrence comes through for Doug Peterson. Let's turn that around.
Lawrence in the shotgun, looking left, throws left, and it's caught! Zay Jones! The Jags go up by one!
They had a 3rd-and-21 on that drive, and Ravens couldn't get them off the field. The Jags win 28-27. They're 4-7 and not in last place, thank you, Houston, in the NFC South.
Another game where a gutty call by a coach.
Yeah.
Brandon Staley goes for the two-point conversion as Justin Herbert hits Gerald Everett with the two-point conversion pass. The LA Chargers beat the Arizona Cardinals 25-24 yesterday. Chargers now 6-5. The Cardinals are 4-8 on the season. And I'm sitting there going, they're just going to kick the next point, right? They're just going to go to overtime, right?
I thought
right?
so, yeah.
No, not at all. Herbert, by the way, 274, three touchdowns with that two-point conversion completion yesterday. Herbert also led them in rushing yesterday with 38 yards. Kyler Murray, 191, two touchdowns and a pick. But John Connor, it is with his first 100-yard game since he was a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Yeah.
25 carries, 120 yards. DeAndre Hopkins is a beast. Four catches, 87 yards, and a touchdown yesterday.
Quite possibly naturally.
Or unnaturally.
That's true.
Anyway, the Chargers mentioned 6-5. The Cardinals fall to 4-8.
Cliff Kingsbury, 6-13 post-Thanksgiving.
25-24 victory, by the way, for the Chargers.
In his NFL career, he's 6-13 in games played after Thanksgiving. And Kyler Murray yesterday says, schematically, we're kind of bleeped right now.
Not good. Not good.
For the second week in a row, the Raiders walk off a team that Russell Wilson played for. This one was a fun game. It was 34-all going into OT, and Josh Jacobs sets his career-high rushing yards for the third time this season with a walk-off blast up the middle.
Jacobs with running room right up the middle. Jacobs is on his way. The Raiders are going to win this game. 86 yards.
Josh Jacobs is an absolute savage for the second week in a row. Last week, Devontae Adams. This week, Josh Jacobs with a walk-off touchdown in overtime.
somehow the Raiders are 4-7.
CBS Sports on the call, by the way. Josh Jacobs, as you mentioned, 229, two touchdowns. He also had 74 yards receiving. Raider best yardage in a game on the ground and total yards.
Yeah. Yeah, he's pretty good.
Not too bad.
He's doing well.
Not too
Career
bad.
Career high for the third time this season. He said it.
Not too shabby. All right. Chiefs and the Rams scoring off yesterday. Two teams we thought would be maybe contending for being the best team in their respective conference. We were right about one, wrong about the other, because the Chiefs are that team. They're now 9-2, 26-10 win over the Rams, who fall to 3-8 on the season yesterday, as no Matthew Stafford. So they had to go.
No Cooper Kupp either.
No Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp's done for the season.
Yeah.
Bryce Perkins getting the start at quarterback. Going, who?
No idea who that is.
Threw for 100 yards, a touchdown, and two interceptions yesterday. Patty Mahomes. All he did was throw for 320, touchdown, and a pick. Slacker. Isaiah Pacheco.
Yeah.
22 carries, 69 yards, and a touchdown yesterday. For a moment yesterday, I was watching Red Zone have the crawl Pacheco. I thought it was Pinocchio. I'm going, his name's Pinocchio? Wow. No, it's Pacheco, I believe. It's like, look at it closer, dummy. It's Pacheco.
I was like, Jordan Pacheco?
No.
Really? The former G.J. Rucky?
No. Not that one.
ESPN called that Chiefs win a slog. 437 yards of offense, 29 first down. I'll take that slog.
I'll take that any day of the week. Travis Kelce, four catches, 57 yards, and a touchdown. As Perkins, by the way, also led the Rams in rushing with 44 yards. Yikes.
It was another yikes. First time since 2001 the Saints have been squadooshed. And the Niners weren't great yesterday. They, you know, had like 320 yards, somewhere around there.
Watched that game. It was not pretty.
Jimmy G, 26 of 37, 222, and a touchdown.
Oh, there was one moment where it looked like Jimmy G, he took a knee to the a helmet to the knee. They're thinking, oh, no.
Yeah.
They are so screwed. And then Jimmy gets up and he's okay.
And he turned out to be kind of same with Derek Carr. He got crunched early in that Seahawks game, and he came back to be all right. Christian McCaffrey, 11 rushes, 32 yards. He had four catches for 17, and it's good enough to get the job done. Niners are 7-4, 13-0 winners over the Saints.
And then he had Sunday Night Football. You had the Philadelphia Eagles with just the one loss in the season, taking on Green Bay, and it was a 40-33 win for the Eagles last night. They're 10-1. Packers, they slipped a 4-8 on the season. Rib injury for Aaron Rodgers as he had to depart that game. He's already dealing with the hand injury as well. But Rodgers, before he left, 142 touchdowns and a couple of picks. Jordan Love, 6 of 9, 113 yards and a touchdown, as A.J. Dillon led the Packers on the ground with 64 yards. But for Philadelphia, Jalen Hurts with 153 yards and two touchdowns. He also had 17 carries for 157 yards. What was I seeing? The first quarterback to have those kind of numbers in the first half, to have like over 100 yards passing, 100 yards rushing.
Yeah, I saw that.
Look up that stat, because it was a remarkable performance by Jalen Hurts. Also, Miles Sanders had a solid game, 143 yards and two touchdowns, as the Eagles take care of the Packers last night in Sunday Night Football.
Here's the snap. Hurts takes the handoff, looks right, throws right. End zone, caught, touchdown. It's A.J. Brown. Six-yard touchdown strike from Hurts to Brown. He beat Rasul Douglas, and the Eagles extend the lead.
First player since at least 1950, which means they ran out of time looking this up.
Right.
With 150-plus rushing and 150-plus passing yards with multiple passing touchdowns in a game. That's the number for Jalen Hurts that ESPN has. And it's the second most rushing yards in Eagles history. The last time they had this many rushing yards in a game was 41 days after my Indians won the World Series. November 21st, 1948.
Wow. Not a bad first half for Jalen Hurts.
Not bad.
It is Monday Night Football tonight on the team as the Pittsburgh Steelers take on Jeff Saturday and the Indianapolis Colts. Pregame at 5:30 for that one tonight on the Team Sports Network. All right, 8:37, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy coming up. Our Browns cremation and funeral service, good call, bad call, plus just going with Mighty Mavs this week since we were limited in terms of prep action from the weekend. So we'll just have Mighty Mavs coming up in a little bit. But it's time right now to play the number game.
Let's play the number game on the Jim Davis Show.
Yes, first correct answer on the Chick-fil-A text line, 970-242-1340, gets the delicious prize, which for the number game on a Monday, as always, is a case of Coors Banquet from our friends at High Country Beverage. The answer is always a number. So if you text me, oh, the Bucks, that's wrong. How many games do the Nuggets need to win in a row to get to 500 all-time against the Rockets, who they play tonight? The answer is a number. How many games do the Nuggets need to win in a row to get to 500 all-time against Houston, who they play tonight?
All right, first correct answer on the text line has to be a number. You want a case of Coors Original from High Country Beverage. Text in your answer right now. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340.
First of all, it's hilarious.
Warp twisted individuals. Yes.
Yeah! The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 842. Jim and the Buckeye Boy. Let's get back to the text line for just a moment. Oh, by the way, do we have a winner yet?
We do.
Okay, so a winner today for the number game.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Now, before we get to the, I did not give the answer in the question, did I? Because it kind of felt that way.
No, not
Pyle,
that I could recall.
On top of it this morning.
Good job, Pyle.
9 different guys got the right answer. First in the door was our buddy Scott with 8 Nuggets, 8 games below 500 against the Rockets all time. Maybe that's an easy to Google answer. I don't know. But man, Pyle just came rolling in with correct answers. All woken up from the tryptophan coma. They're ready to
good
go
job.
This morning, man.
You would think, yeah, it would be a little bit of a slog today, right?
Slow day, yeah. Maybe no. It's more of a Chiefs type slog. 437 and 29 first downs.
Yeah,
what a slog,
actually,
man.
Actually a really, really good day.
Yeah.
That somebody would consider a slog.
A slog. So good work, Scott, and the rest of the guys. We had a lot. You know, just a couple shots. Mitchell, Charlie was wrong. Mitchell was wrong. But Kit, Jared, Guru, Blake, Mark G. We haven't heard from Mark G in a while. Ron, they all got the right answer, just not first.
Good job, guys.
Scott.
Well done. Well done, Scott. You mentioned the guru, by the way, who texted in earlier, trying to see where his... There we go. The good, the bad, the ugly from the guru. Let me put some music behind that. Possibly.
You got it? I got it.
I got it right here. Just... Okay. There we go. Thought I hit the button. Computer says no, that I didn't hit the button.
You did not.
The good... Having Carr, Adams, and Lockett going to overtime for possibly more fantasy points.
Mm-hmm.
Bad opponent having Josh Jacobs. Oh, that is really bad. Ugly watching that 86-yard run to end it. On the bright side, Spencer Rattler and the Gamecocks covering spreads like crazy. Ending Clemson's winning streak at Death Valley. Nice job by Wilson, South Carolina. Played some good football here at the end of the season. Special teams are great. Of course, it's Frank Beamer's kid, coach at
Shane, right?
Shane, who's coaching at South Carolina. So you kind of think, you know, that runs in the family DNA. Mike in Scottsdale this morning doesn't really have a good, the bad, the ugly. See, today should be Black Monday in Denver, and the house should be cleaned out. A team is cooked like a Thanksgiving bird. I would sit Russ down for the rest of the season, and in order to heal, I would love to have primetime in Boulder, but the transfer portal, academics, and NIL issues will have to be addressed before he accepts the job. I'm thinking that if he's been offered it, that conversation, I would assume, has been going on with him. I can't imagine
you would hope.
Prime time would be going, we'll just figure that stuff out later.
And I think we need to change our metaphors, I guess that's called. Because cooked like the Thanksgiving bird, that was delicious, right?
It was very,
this
very true.
Offense is cooked like haggis.
Ugh.
It's just kind of boiled and bleh. You know what I'm saying?
So trust me, you don't want haggis.
We got to turn this around a little.
Yeah, something like haggis would probably be a more
This offense is cooked like a medium rare steak. That's a good thing.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. This offense is cooked like a boiled chicken breast. It's just there. Not very good. Not appetizing. Not even fun to look at.
I will say that I smoked a turkey breast.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I made the rub and everything. That's just so tough to do. Mm-hmm. I was quite pleased.
It's very easy to everybody, screw up, though.
Everybody liked it. Oh, yeah. But I'm patting myself on the back today. It actually turned out pretty darn good.
Yeah.
I was very pleased.
Nice.
Very pleased. All right. So it's 8:46. And yeah, you're right, though. I think we need to change that. That's probably not the best way to describe that. But we'll see what happens with Deion Sanders. We'll talk more about it coming up next hour. Right now, though, we want to get to Good Call, Bad Call, brought to you by Brown's Cremation Service and Cremation and Funeral Service. It's a good call to get a hold of Brown's to make your arrangements. Don't leave that on your loved ones. That's a bad call.
Was that a good call or did they totally blow it? It's Good Call or Bad Call.
All right, so good call, bad call. Rams are having a rough season. They lost to Kansas City yesterday. They're 3-8. And there continues to be the ongoing question about Sean McVay. Will he continue to coach this football team? Will he look for other things to do? That, according to OutKick, that McVay is thinking about maybe stepping away from coaching the Los Angeles Rams. That, according to the report, McVay said, it's one thing to give your heart and soul when you're winning, but when you're losing it, it's truly burdensome for guys like Sean, is what I guess somebody else said, not what McVay said. Mm-hmm. I'm not telling you Sean is quitting because he's losing. Truth is, it might fire him up to come back and try to prove this year is a mirage, but he's definitely going to do a lot of hard thinking about where he's at after the season. I don't blame him. Seasons like he's having are just crushing to the spirit, man. Good call or bad call that he's back coaching the Rams next season?
I'm going to say good call that he's back. I think if he was going to walk away, he would have walked away this last offseason.
I think so too, but it is troubling if you're a Rams fan that you hear this every year about him now.
Yeah.
Well, if they win, he might just call it good. Well, he's what, mid-30s?
He's barely 40 years old, I think.
Or yeah, he's like late 30s, early 40s. And when I hear that, I'm like, it's tough for him to lose, even though that's not the reason he'd leave. Well, that sounds like that's the reason he would want to leave, right?
Yeah, he'll be 37 in 2 months.
So you're having a bad year.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't had a whole lot of bad years with the Rams.
Right.
Taking him to 2 Super Bowls.
Maybe.
I'm just kind of thinking, okay, does he just not enjoy coaching that much? I'm a little perplexed about Sean McVay and what, because it seems like he's such a go guy.
Yeah.
Does he burn himself out with having that kind of, you know, rah, let's go get him kind of spirit?
Maybe.
I don't get it.
Maybe,
right?
Though.
I mean, what am I not getting about? Why
I don't
you,
understand.
Why? Okay, if they win, he might walk away. Okay, you won a Super Bowl. That's great. Wouldn't you want to win another one?
Did just get married.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
But also, he's from Dayton.
Oh.
Maybe. Maybe it's in his
Buckeye
future.
Nation, they turn their backs on Ryan Day.
They
turn
their
backs on Ryan Day.
I joke about that with that, but they are coming for Ryan Day.
They are coming for Ryan Day.
Ooh, brother. All right, moving on. Good call, bad call. I got two, if you want.
I think it's a good call he comes back.
I think it's a good call. I also think it's a good call that it is the Jordan Love audition era. The last 5 games for the Packers. They got to find out what this kid can do against number ones.
Your season's over.
Your season's essentially... You're not mathematically done, but you're done.
You're Bronco done.
You're done. Yeah. You're Denver done. You're Haggis cooked. Right.
Exactly. So,
6 of 9, 113, a touchdown again. Prevent defense. Eagles up big early. I still think that's a good call. It's Jordan Love audition era.
Want to see what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's only fair.
And my second good call, bad call, proven winner, proven recruiter in the Big 12, Matt Rhule, now in the Big 10 at Nebraska.
Going to make $9 million a year.
They signed him, what, for 8 years?
Yeah.
Good call, bad call. He coaches every single one of those 8 years in Lincoln.
Bad call.
Bad call.
I don't think he... we'll see. I don't know. If they do well, he's going to be gone. Buy out and he'll go someplace. He'll go back to the NFL. Or
just watching him on Good Morning Football last week, that's a guy that doesn't feel done with the NFL. That's a guy that doesn't feel Urban Meyer, right? Like, Urban Meyer will never coach in the NFL.
He's done. You'll never see that opportunity again.
He may never coach again. Matt Rhule, though, figures maybe there's a chance for him to still, he's also a young guy. He's going to be 48, young in coaching.
Goes to Nebraska, gets that thing turned around,
mm-hmm.
gets another opportunity in the NFL. Yeah. Who knows?
Uh-huh. I think that's a bad call. I don't think he goes 8 years.
No, I don't think either it's going to flame out horrifically,
mm-hmm. which is likely.
Which is very likely.
Nebraska.
Or he's successful and he moves on someplace else. Back to the NFL.
We were out at breakfast. Was it yesterday morning, maybe? Or Friday morning? No, it was yesterday morning. And
days play together.
Yeah, they do. We saw the Nebraska. No, it was at dinner Saturday night. Sorry. We were out at dinner Saturday night. Saw the Nebraska long sleeve mock neck guy walking around. I'm like, wow. I haven't seen that shirt in forever.
I know. Pumping up the chest after winning the Heroes Trophy.
That. Finished 2-10, baby. Yeah. Or whatever they're.
I think they want their fourth game. I think they won four. Yeah, I know. The pride is back.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to Mighty Mavs this morning.
Best of CMU Sports. It's Mighty Mavs on the Jim Davis Show.
We're not having a very good technical day.
We had a little
clickeration
issue there.
Neither one of us are having a very good technical
day
today.
Me.
All right, my Mighty Mavs. We'll start out with my female Mighty Mav, Monica Brooks, with a win last night over Fort Lewis, 13 points, 6 rebounds. Nice effort from her. And also should acknowledge Laura Gutierrez, the former Adams State player, mm-hmm. 18 points last night for the Mavericks.
Off the bench?
Yep, off the bench.
I have Olivia Reed, double-double, 15-10 in the win over Fort Lewis, Mavs' first win of the season.
She's going to be good down the road. She's been very impressive already. All right, moving on to my male Mighty Mav. Got to give it to Blaze Threed. 10 for 10 from the foul line. Hit some big free throws down the stretch. As the Maverick men moved to 5-1, they beat Simon Fraser 77-62 on Saturday night. Good day.
Good day, Olhoser. And he survived broadcaster jinx, too.
What's that?
Right? He survived broadcaster jinx.
Yes, he did.
You tried to get him at 8-8. And he went 10 for 10, so good job.
Yeah, he totally
right there.
Shook that off.
Yeah, and bailed the broadcaster out, too. That's always good.
I'm going to give one more, too. Reese Johnson, I thought, played really well in both ends the other night. Had 10 points, but played well. Trevor Baskin had a huge game, too. But
going back to Friday night, Northern New Mexico, Mavs scored 99. Elijah Knutson, 18 off the bench for the Mavericks.
6 threes.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
The former Meade Maverick, so he didn't have to change his nickname allegiance.
Yeah, didn't have to cover the tattoo or anything. If he's got one, I don't know. But,
what's a Maverick? You know, always a Maverick in that case. All right, so those are Mighty Mavs from the weekend. And just so the folks in Delta know, we do plan on having Ben Johnson with us tomorrow on the program. It's that we give Ben the weekend to recover and everything from going over to play at Pueblo against Eaton. So we hope to have him on the program tomorrow to wrap up the Delta football season. Plus, we'll start talking to some of the high school basketball coaches. Warrior Challenge coming up this week as we get into high school basketball season. Yeah, it's fast approaching, so we'll dive into that this week as well. All right, so your thoughts on Nathaniel Hackett. Most of you, I know, want him fired, but the Athletic article outlines how that has not always worked out well for franchises. So we got some thoughts on that today. Also, Deion Sanders, next coach of the Buffs. Text us, call us.